Welcome to Education Suspended, a podcast focused on exploring, engaging, and dialoguing with those in education who are passionate about changing the status quo and evolving the archaic system we have inherited.
Hey everyone, welcome to Education Suspended. Jessica Pfeiffer here, one of your co-hosts. I feel like I need to start today with an apology to our amazing student interns and to Miss Hansen. I am recording this on a Thursday, and typically we like to have this done much sooner so that they have time to put everything together without having to be rushed. But I've been putting it off, and in full transparency, it's because I want to address the school shooting in Iowa now that I am a resident of Iowa, and I actually don't know what to say about it. So I think unintentionally, that's why I got behind. So yeah, I'm assuming I'm feeling the feels like many of you, obviously as someone that supports educational systems, but as a parent, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. I find myself sick, feeling anxiety about just the thought of sending my little daughter into the public school system, which no one should have to feel. And I'm really just frustrated. I guess frustrated doesn't even count. I'm beyond whatever word you want to put in there with the lack of progress, the continued ambivalence or continued complacency of policymakers not doing anything about it. I don't know. But for those of you who, once again, were triggered, experienced your vicarious trauma, experienced any form of trauma through this, I'm sorry. And we have to keep fighting to make the system better. This is insanity at this point. This is insanity. That being said, I don't want to make the mood too sad because we really do have an amazing interview today. We sit down with Veronika Pakova, who is an educator in Prague. So I actually recorded this interview back in May when I was traveling to the Czech Republic to be a keynote presenter at an international trauma-informed educational conference. And when I was traveling there, I thought it'd be really cool to sit down with educators in different parts of Europe. And so this is one of the interviews that I did. And I was so grateful for Veronica's time. We met literally 10 minutes before this interview, and she was so gracious. And it was really insightful. It was very good for me to hear the experiences from a teacher in another part of the world, not only just to see what's different and learn from her, but also to see what exists that's really similar for teachers in different parts of the world. So Veronika, it was wonderful meeting you, and I'm grateful that you joined us and shared your story so that all of us around the world can see the great work that you're doing. So thank you. All right, everybody, sit back and enjoy Education Suspended with Veronika Pakova.
Have a great day at school. Stay kind and curious.
I want to set the stage here really quickly. So for all of our listeners, this interview is going to feel a little bit different. Steve Grainer is not joining us because I am actually in Prague. I'm here for a conference, and in the process of setting up this international traveling adventure, we thought it might be fun to do some interviews with international guests just to see how the educational system varies for a lot of us in the United States, even though I know we have listeners from all over the world. Thank you for listening. We really just wanted to sit down with people from other countries and hear their stories. So this is the first one, and I'm gonna have Veronika introduce herself, but Veronika and I literally have just met. So I'm very excited to meet her, and I'm grateful for her time, and we're excited. So thank you, Veronika, for agreeing to do this. You're probably thinking, what in God's name did I get myself into? So we start all of our podcasts the same. I'm going to have you say hello. to our listeners, introduce yourself, talk about what you do, and if you feel it's okay with you, if you would talk about your own story as a student. And then we'll just start with that.
Okay, so hello everyone. I'm very glad to be here and share my experience. My name is Veronika and I teach in Prague, and I have been teaching for 6 years now. And I'm also a PhD student. So maybe the reason why I became a PhD student is that I want to change Czech education system. Yeah. But sometimes it's hard. But I would like to say something about not education system in Czech Republic, but about my own experience like a teacher, and share some little of experience which I had with my colleagues, for example. So how I became a teacher?
Yeah.
I don't know, actually.
That's okay.
Because when I was young, I go to primary school. I love my teacher from fourth grade, I think. And I try to teach my toys. I put the toys in front of me, and I have list of the names, and I put marks, and I try to teach the toys. And then I went to grammar school, and when I was in last grade in grammar school, I have to choose which university I will go. And it was the moment when my best friend told me, okay, so I'm going to education faculty here in Prague. And I say, okay, so because I know what I should do. So I try to do some exam to the primary school teaching, and I pass, and that's the way how I became a teacher. And during my study, I went to the Erasmus program, and I went to the Finland.
Oh, nice.
Because I think that I want to go somewhere to abroad and took some experience. And my teacher told me, okay, so what about Finland? You can take the experience from abroad, and they had the great education system. So I went there and I met new friends, met new teacher, and I took some experience and techniques and methods from Finland here in Czech Republic. And I think that this way changed my life and my point of view about education.
Interesting. Okay, I definitely want to jump into Finland because I've heard a lot about Finland and the way they do education. What are you getting your PhD in?
I say PhD in pedagogy, and I focus on inclusive education.
Very cool. And so what does inclusive education mean here in the Czech Republic?
Mm-hmm. So it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Because we have inclusive education about 6 years here, and I think that's the really problem. Because the Czech teacher need some list things what to do. We are lost. We have really problem with include children, especially with missing behavior and with changing behavior.
That's hard.
Yeah.
Okay. I asked because in the United States, you know, we're working a lot on inclusion as well, but not everyone's doing that at a very high standard. So it's kind of one of these, we say it's like a fancy word, right? Oh, we do inclusion. When you really look at it, no, you don't do inclusion. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was wondering what that means here.
Yeah, I think it's the same or the similar because we really tried. And I interviewed many teachers from Czech Republic for my thesis. And I think that we have the good idea, but teacher don't know how to do it because we haven't enough money for it. We haven't enough assistants. we have enough special educators or teachers. Yeah, and that's the problem. I think that teacher really try to do it, and I think that we do the really big step from, I don't know, 2017. I think that the inclusive education started, but it's not enough. And now Ministry of Education will do not good steps, because we will have less money for education or for schools and less assistance.
Yeah, it sounds challenging, because even if you as a teacher, even if your coworkers, your friends who are teachers want to do this work, there are barriers in the way that kind of stop you from actually being able to do it
mm-hmm.
to the level that you want to.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very similar, it's very similar. Do you mind talking a little bit about your experience in Finland and kind of how that impacted you?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can. The first time when I went to Finland was a pride for me, because I was like in a new world, like magic. And when I went back, I tried to, or every time when I go back from Finland here in Czech Republic, I try to something new puts my lessons. For example, we have some TP in classroom, and it's something like a relaxation corner mm-hmm. for children. For example, when they feel bad or exhausted, tired, so they go there, they can relax. Or we have also here in the TP distress tools for the children. Or I take the children many freedom. So I mean that they can choose level of the tasks or space when they do the task, for example. And that's my experience from Finland.
Okay, so Finland is doing that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I hear about Finland, I mean, people describe it as though they're doing education different. They are giving more freedom to the teachers to actually teach in a way that's creative. Do you see that over there?
Yes, they can choose the methods, for example. But I think that we have the same Czech Republic.
Okay.
But in my opinion, teachers don't know how to use the freedom. We haven't tight curriculum. We can use many methods, many tools, and so on. But I think that's the problem, that teachers don't know how to use it in their classroom.
Okay, so they have some of the same resources,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but filling that theory to practice gap,
yes.
right? The mm-hmm. what to do mm-hmm. is the challenge, because no one's teaching the teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They just expect them to learn it and do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, interesting. I want to hop into your current work and what you do in your classroom, because I hear it's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wouldn't mind, I'm here. Yesterday I presented at a conference. It's a national conference for the European Union on trauma-informed education.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know this, but my listeners mm-hmm. know this, that I love the term trauma-informed, and I also hate the term trauma-informed mm-hmm. because it's a very fancy term. I'm very privileged, and in full transparency, did not realize how many students the Czech Republic and Prague have taken in from Ukraine. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of students that have come over because of the war in Ukraine
mm-hmm.
and are now in your schools. What has that been like for you as a teacher?
It's really hard, and I try to include these children in my schools, and I was on team at Charles University, and we started with included these children mm-hmm. at our system, because it's really important. But for teachers and for my colleagues, it's really hard. For example, we have special classes for the students with Czech language, and we try to put the classroom assistants. In my school, we have many Ukrainian speakers, like assistants,
yes.
and they try to translate what the teacher said.
Okay, so you have translators.
Mm-hmm.
You try to give them that one-on-one support,
mm-hmm.
but it's still challenging.
Yes.
I don't know why I was naive into how many students have come to Prague. It's a lot.
It's a lot, but I know the number.
I don't know the number either. I don't probably want to know the number. I think it would be heartbreaking. So when I reached out to the team here in the Czech Republic that was bringing me to speak, I let them know about this podcast. And I said, hey, do you have an educator that is working hard to change the system? And they gave me your name immediately. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to pivot. You're famous. Did you not know this?
I'm not sure.
Now you will be famous everywhere. I would love to jump into the work that you do in your classroom and how you try to take what you've learned about the brain. Mm-hmm. And again, Phil, it's nice theory to learn about the brain, to learn about trauma. But what I hear is that you are actually doing things practically mm-hmm. to do that. Can you talk about, well, I guess if you wouldn't mind, would you start talking about how did you come to learn about the brain?
So I would like to start from the beginning because it's, I think that years ago, I the first heard about trauma respectful attitudes from SOFA.
And what's SOFA?
SOFA is an organization here in Czech Republic, and they help not just children, but also families and adults.
Yeah.
With some problems, for example, children from the poor families and so on. And I heard about curse, about this curse, and I said myself, I have to do this. Because I think that I fell in love with this curse. So I went there, and for me was really surprised hear or listen information about the brain and how we use this information. Because, for example, I have in my classroom a guy with maybe missing behavior, changing behavior.
Yeah, a guy.
For me, it was really a problem. And we have many, many children in here in Prague in the classroom because inclusive education. And I just heard, you can't do anything for them because they misbehavior, they are naughty and so on. And I was fascinated with this curse and about brain and how the brain goes and so on. And yeah, I tried to my classroom and ever problems go out about 1 month.
Wow. So I want to make sure I heard this correctly. You had been teaching for several years mm-hmm. before you learned about the brain
yeah.
and stress mm-hmm. and how to help kids. Mm-hmm. Do you find that ironic that you became a teacher and no one taught that to you beforehand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was surprised that we didn't hear about it, for example, at university.
Yeah.
Because I think that every problem will come out. So I think that every teacher should listen about it and learn it. Yeah. Learn about stress and about brain and the part of the brain and how we help the children. And it's really easy.
It's the same story that I hear in the United States. Teacher after teacher, administrator after administrator. How did I get this far in education and no one felt it necessary to teach me about yeah. the brain? Mm-hmm. And it changes their lives, right? Like they see education so differently.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I had and I have this kind of children in my classroom. For example, when the child had attacked, I can say anything. So he, for example, cried or screamed or something like that. And I'm just calm and I do anything because I know they don't use the brain. Yeah. And he can't think
right.
like really. So I do and nothing. So we have some signs and he just go to me and say, okay, so now I okay. And I want to say something something to you about what happened, and I need someone else, and I need share my feelings and so on. So we go, for example, out from the classroom, and he told me everything. What he wants to tell me about the situation, for example, and so on. And he used some anti-stress tools, and then he's gone calm, and everything is good. It's super easy.
It sounds like you shifted from kind of this, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, so tell me if I'm saying this wrong, but this shifting of understanding that it wasn't about what you were doing wrong as the teacher. He wasn't upset with you. It was your ability to understand there has to be time and space for him to regulate. Would you say that is true?
Yeah.
Have the kids said anything to you about the changes? Have they noticed?
They feel it also. And the parents, we have meetings with parents, and parents of the kids told me they feel from the kids and they listen from the kids that everything is okay. And I think that the atmosphere in my classroom and during or all the children changed. And because we have problem, because of COVID, we have problem with relationships in the classroom. And I think that everything changed because I take the techniques not just from this guy, but I use it for all of them. Because sometimes everyone feels, for example, sad and exhausted and so on. And every of the children, because sometimes I know that they haven't like heart problem, for example, at home, but sometimes, you know, they don't feel good and they need space for themselves and so on. So I used for all of them. And everything changed.
How did you decide to do that? Because, you know, part of the risk that I have found with people overusing the word trauma-informed education is that we lose sight of the importance of making the space regulating for all the students, not just the traumatized kids or the kids that come to school with a lot of stress. How did you know to do that?
Maybe from my another experience, because so when I started study PhD in field of inclusive education, I think that I changed my mind and I feel that the children need more, but all of them, not just included children, but maybe that's the reason when I try to use it for all of them, yeah.
Okay, so part of that was when you went back to school, this thought of inclusion, it works both ways. That if we can make the environment more regulating for all the kids.
Yes, and maybe I have from the Finland. For example, in Finland, they feel that everything is for everyone. And every children or all of the children need the same help or support. But in Czech Republic, I think that the main problem that we support just children with some paper from the doctor and so on. That's the problem. It's not for just someone. It's just all of them.
In the United States, to get more than is just like the basic curriculum, you have to have some form of plan in place. Typically in the realm of the special education world. Is that the same here?
Yeah, it's the same here. We have, I think that we have children with specific needs and that all. And we focus just on these children with some specific needs. And they, the child, teacher support. But in Finland, and I think that's the main point, we have to support all children, not just with some specific
needs. I love it. Are there other things that you do in your classroom to help your kids learn and to regulate?
Yes, for example, I use a specific book, like methodology. It's from Australia, and so far translated and put on the Czech education book about developing social emotion,
social emotional
learning.
Yes.
And I try it and use it in my classroom because, for example, we learn about gender, we learn about some techniques, how we can help ourselves, about some positive part of self, and so on.
Does the Czech Republic do well at balancing social emotional learning and academic learning? Do you balance that well here or no?
No. The highest level, we put some academic skills and knowledge. Yeah. And I don't know why, really. Maybe it's in the history of Czech Republic because we do everything for some knowledge and it's, yeah.
They essentially prioritize the academics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we are going to try because we will have new curriculum for primary and secondary school, and there should be the bigger part of well-being or developing well-being.
Yeah. So let's stick on that topic of well-being for a little bit. And I'd love to talk about teacher well-being,
mm-hmm.
right? I won't focus too much on you unless you want to share, because I know we just met. How well does the Czech Republic do at treating the educators? Like, is it a job that takes care of teachers and they help you manage your stress and set appropriate expectations, or is that a little bit more challenging?
I think that here, Czech teacher can't take care about this. I think that it's not important for state and for ministry, like teachers' teachers' well-being. I think that minister do everything against teacher.
They make it harder on the teachers.
Yes.
So they should be doing more for the teacher.
They should.
Yes.
But I'm not sure that they will do in the future.
Yeah.
More.
Yeah. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
If you could change one thing about the system, what would it be?
It's hard to say because there are many things what I want to change, but I would like the teacher should change the attitudes about inclusive education, because I think that some of them and maybe some parents and so on, like society, take inclusive education like something bad. Yeah, because for example, some children with specific needs, they include maybe bad day children during classroom, but it's not true. And we need to change this attitude to positive attitudes.
There's like a negative lens with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you are biased, but you're not crazy. I think inclusionary work is a huge piece, is mm-hmm. a huge piece. Is there anything else?
Main support of teachers, because I think the Czech teacher do many things and they work hard, but they need support from the state and from the ministry. I mean, for example, money or some courses for them, or maybe some 3 year. So like gap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you feel the system could take better care of the teachers?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My guess is that it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We should be doing more for our teachers.
I think it's not about money, and many teachers told to you, for example, so I don't need more money, but I need some support, and maybe I need to feel that, for example, parents and society trust me, that I am professional in this job and in my work. So I think that's something like mystery, the teacher needs more money. Yeah, I think that's not important. It is important, but I think the day we have more important things.
What other things do teachers need?
Work and collaborate with, for example, a psychologist. Like work in team.
collaboration.
Mm-hmm. We have money for example, psychologists. Yeah, when you study psychology, so it's better for you when you go another field to, for example, work like doctor, not in the school.
Oh, so they're just not in the school in general.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just pretend that you are in a school that has a school psychologist or a school social worker
mm-hmm.
or a school counselor.
I think that we need it.
You want that more?
Yeah.
If when it happens now, do you collaborate now?
Not much.
Not much.
We haven't people for it.
So it's not just, it just doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So where do your students get their mental health needs met?
Private doctor or private psychology. So you can say to parents, okay, so I needed your children go to the psychology, but sorry, we haven't at school anymore, so please find someone else.
Yeah, so outside of school,
mm-hmm.
which probably takes you right back to your love of inclusion and how that's not realistic for so many students and their families
mm-hmm.
to find resources outside of
yes.
school.
Yes, and I think that's the problem, because in school, the psychologists is free, and you know that's the support for families, because we have, for example, poor families backgrounds, and not I think that parents can't pay for the support. It should be free.
Yeah, I agree. Typically, I host this with my good friend Steve Grainer. He's clearly not on this side of the ocean with me. But Steve Grainer, I know what asks you, what do you do to take care of yourself? How do you keep going as a teacher?
So at the first, I have to say that it was a really long way, but for example, for my well-being is the best sport. I think that all of the teachers have to do something for themselves and their well-being. I had to focus on, for example, emails from parents, or I had to say myself, okay, so now it's weekend and I can work. So I think that you have to know when you are working and when you have leisure time for yourself and not connected.
Are you able to find time for you during the school day?
It's not easy.
It's not easy.
It's absolutely not easy. But when I'm at the work, I just focus on my work. And when I leave the school, I have to everything problems leave at the school and don't thinking about it. And it's too hard something, because I think that's all the teacher know it. Sometimes you have to thinking about the problems, yeah, every time, because it's important problem, or you are look for some solution
mm-hmm.
the problem, and it sometimes it's hard to separate a little time and work.
Yeah, as a teacher, it's hard to leave work.
Mm-hmm.
At work, you take these kids home with you. I like what you said, right? Like, that's important, and that's normal. That's going to happen. But you have to be able to also prioritize yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's a global problem, not teacher's problem.
Yeah, touche. It might be a global problem in all helping professions.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else that you want to share? I'm so, so grateful for your time.
So I would like to say, believe the teachers, because they are professional and they know what they do with children. And for teachers, please change the attitude for the children and believe the children and take care about all of them.
I do hope you know that you are doing really good work, that you were the first teacher that they thought of when I needed to interview someone. They're like, we know exactly what should be. And so I want that to be clear to you, that this country is lucky to have you leading the way. It's been an honor interviewing you, and so thank you for joining us.
I have to also say thank you.
Okay, so I realized that we signed off. Tell everybody what you're doing next week with your students.
So me and my students, we are going to do nature. We call it Škola v přírodě, and it means that we are going to the nature and we play the games without learning and studying. Just we work about well-being and play the games and take care about friendships.
I just want to make sure I understand this. In Prague, or is it the whole Czech Republic?
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole Czech Republic. In your public school system, one time a year, your kids go on a camping trip.
Yes.
For a week.
For 1 week.
For 1 week. And how, what age, what grade does this start at?
Some teachers start in kindergarten.
In kindergarten?
Yes.
So starting in kindergarten, it's possible. You could go camping with your class.
Mm-hmm.
Kindergarten, first grade, second grade,
yes.
Third grade.
Mm-hmm.
All the way through high school?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do the kids like it?
Absolutely. So, for example, my children, so this year I teach third grade. They packed everything about 1 month ago.
So they're really excited.
Yes.
And I bet it just changes everything. Like, it's something to look forward to. And it's when you come back from it, do you notice any differences?
4 years ago, I had problem with the friendship and with my children because I was a new teacher here, and the children use different methods and different kind of works. And now I came to classroom and changed for them everything, more freedom and so on. And we have a really hard time. And every time when I go to the nature for a week with all of my students, their behavior changed. So we are closer together and they take new friends.
We could just sit here for another hour, but we're not going to do that. Because you have to go to a musical.
And yes.
Everyone, she's going to the musical Jesus Christ Superstar right after this. So I'm very jealous. But I wanted you to describe that to our listeners, because we talk quite a bit about the need to increase access to nature, get the kids outside. And you all are literally doing that at a large scale.
And sometimes, because some parents have problem with money, so we have special fund for them, and city or organization can pay the children.
Okay, so it's accessible to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, now I'm gonna dream big about getting all kids camping during the school year. Okay, now we'll officially say goodbye and I will officially let you go to your musical. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello, my name is Luz, the Lindbergh High School senior intern who edited today's episode. Education Suspended is a production of Intricate Roots and Educational Consulting Services. Our producer is Jessica Pfeiffer. Our Education Suspended website was created by Grainer Media. Our production manager is Gina Henson. Music is provided by Spastic Pinky.